This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving. Unashamed and unafraid, 'cause I believe you mean it when you say, I am strong, beautiful, I am good enough. I belong after all, 'cause of what you've done. This is real, what I feel, no one made it up. I am loved. Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I don't know about you, but my day has just started out incredible. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my day. Starting up, I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I realized I had to be somewhere at 7. I don't know about you, but how long does it take you to get ready in the morning? I know how long it takes me normally, but it's amazing what we can do when we're motivated and incentivized to get our bottoms out of bed and get up and get rolling. So today, I'm going to continue on this journey of the show and talk to you more about the advantage. Have you ever felt like you needed some type of advantage? You know, you just didn't have all the knowledge that you needed, or you just didn't understand what to do, the next step, what way to go. I was in an airport, and when I have a long flight, I'm always going, okay, I need something to keep me occupied because I don't sit idle very easily. It's not easy for me to sit idly. So I found this book, and I've been talking about this book for the last two shows, I believe, and it's The Advantage, and it's talking about team, creating a team, but not only just creating a team, but a healthy one. And whether you're in a relationship, this will help you in relationships personally, or you're in the business world and you need some guidance or some help, support, encouragement, inspiration, whatever your need is, you can get something out of what we're going to talk about today. So no matter where you are in your life, this show will help you, I promise. So I went to a convene meeting recently, and in the convene meeting, when I first walked in, my director, the chair, had written something on a piece of paper, and on it said this: you are creating the tomorrow you will live in with the attitudes, choices, values, and behaviors you are using today. Create well. And this is by Henry Cloud. And I thought that was so good and so perfect and goes along so well with this show and kind of where I am in life. You know, I said at the very beginning of this year, this show has been going for 5 years now. At the beginning of this year, I was talking about that this year is my year of intentional, being intentional. And we do need to be intentional because we don't know how long we have. We don't know how many days we have on this earth. And as I get older, people are leaving this earth. And it's happening more and more all the time. And people that you think are completely healthy and completely just living life to the fullest, and all of a sudden they get a health issue or something happens to them and no more. And so we need to be intentional with what we are doing every minute of every day, because every minute should count. So starting this chapter of this book, talking about building a cohesive leadership team. And like I said, this can apply to your personal life too. We're talking about engaging in conflict or not engaging in conflict. And so I'm going to start just reading from here. It says, when someone comes to a meeting and states an opinion or makes a suggestion that his teammates don't agree with, those teammates have a choice. They can explain their disagreement and work through it, or they can withhold their opinion and allow themselves to quickly lose respect for their colleague. When team members get used to choosing the latter option, withholding their opinions, frustration inevitably sets in. Essentially, they're deciding to tolerate their colleague rather than trust him. Okay, so the parallel. You're married and you disagree. It does happen. We all have disagreements. And if you don't, then I don't know what to say about that, because that's how we grow, right? By having conflict. But it's how we deal with those conflicts that make the difference. And that's what they're saying here in a team setting. But our marriage and our family is a team. We are working as a team, and we need to have a mission statement in our family, just like we have a mission statement at work, don't we? What are we about as a family? What are we standing for? What is important to us as a family? And in the workplace, definitely we need to know what our mission statement, what our value statements are, what we're standing for. And it helps us when we're making decisions, moving towards whatever that is. It helps us in this journey to help us with this. So what happens is, when a person doesn't address what they disagree with, and they kind of, I've lived this, but shovel it under the rug and think it's going to go away, and it doesn't, it just gets bigger. That dust pile under the carpet, it just seems to get bigger. And so we do need to deal with it. And it's better not to shove it under the carpet. It's better to just deal with it right here, right now. And sometimes we might think, oh, I don't want to deal with the flack. I don't want to deal with what this is going to cause. But waiting, it's going to be worse. Take it from one who knows. I've lived it, and I can tell you that it's definitely going to be worse. So it's much better to just deal with it right here, right now. Yes, be wise and pick your timing wisely. Not when someone's hungry, not when they're tired. You know, choose your timing wisely. Sometimes I can remember back, and I didn't do that. You know, when someone's tired and they're getting ready for bed, it's not the time to have this huge, deep conversation because we need to go to sleep. We need to let our brain rest because we're much better when we get up in the morning and we've had a full night's rest, aren't we? I mean, just think of ourselves. We are much better off that way. So just think about that. Be considerate, okay? That's all I'm saying. So where is the optimal place to be in this situation? The point where a team is engaged in all the constructive conflict they could possibly have, but never stepping over the line into destructive territory. Of course, this is impossible. In any team, or for that matter, in any family or marriage, someone at some point is going to step over the line and say or do something that isn't constructive. I know you're laughing, right? Maybe you're not laughing. Maybe you're crying. But the point is it does happen. And it's not the end of the world. News to you. It's not the end of the world. I can remember being a young married and I just thought everything was like, oh my gosh, I got to fix it right now. And it's not that way. We do need to face it and we need to address it. And we need to check our own feelings. It's like the gas gauge on your car. It's there for a reason. We don't have to react to those feelings in a negative way, but we do need to pay attention to them because they're telling us something very important. And you can ask yourself this, why am I feeling this way? What was it that caused me to feel this way? And it can be a real indicator as to something that maybe a belief system that maybe needs to switch and change. Whatever it is, just pay attention to it. But rather than fearing this, teams need to accept that it will happen and learn to manage it. They must be willing to live through the messiness of recovering from slightly inappropriate conflict so that they will have the courage to go back to the best place again and again. Eventually, they'll develop the confidence that they can survive on occasional step over the line and can even get stronger and build greater trust with one another when they do. That's really key, you know, coming from a personal point of view, is that if you have conflict and you address the conflict, are you always going to agree? No. But we have to seek to understand more than to be understood, correct? Yes. And in that, we learn. But the most important part of all of this is trust. Building the trust that no matter what is going on, it doesn't change the love we have for each other, the feelings that we have, the caring, you know, compassion that we have. It shouldn't change any of that. Yes, we can disagree. That's okay. But it doesn't mean we dislike each other. It just means we disagree. But this will never happen if executives are clinging to the side at the shallow end of the pool in the world of artificial harmony. Artificial harmony. Has anybody ever lived in artificial harmony? I have. You're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And if you're just tuning in, thank you so much for doing so. And if you are hearing something that you would like to share, I would love it if you would do that. How do you do that? You go to SueFree, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And when you go there, you can click on all kinds of different things there. My website's going to be changing soon, and it's going to be even better than it was before. But still, those things are going to be there. There's Helping Hands, which is the IAMs, and all kinds of other things that you can click on and you can get. Because, you know, this show is about helping those that feel helpless. Hope for people that are feeling hopeless. You know why? Because Sue Freeze has been there. And I can tell you that there's another side. It's the God side. It's a side where sometimes we feel like, where are you? Where are you, God? Are you really there? Because I don't feel you right now. But he is there and he uses people. He uses a Sue Free Show. And I am so thankful and honored to be part of your life right now. So thank you so much for joining in. Thank you, San Diegans, for joining in. And please share this show, would you? And you can connect with me there. And I would like for you to do so. I listen to every single I read every single comment that you write and I respond. And those that have written, you know that this is true. So there you go. And sometimes people need resources, and you know, you might not have the resources, and you might not be sure if I might have the resources, but you know what? I have lots of resources, and I can connect the dots, because that's what it's about, is connecting people to people, isn't it? Because that's where we get the help we need. So I'm going to continue on with the book, The Advantage: Why Organizational Health Trumps Everything Else in Business. Nowhere does this tendency toward artificial harmony show itself more than in mission-driven nonprofit organizations, most notably churches. This is so true. People who work in those organizations tend to have a misguided idea that they cannot be frustrated or disagreeable with one another. What they're doing is confusing being nice with being kind. That's so funny that they wrote that there, because I came to the conclusion that people were taking advantage because they felt like my kindness was weakness. And I have to let people know when they come to work for me that I'm kind because I care. But don't confuse the two. I'm kind, but I'm not weak. If I need to take action, I will take action. Those fierce conversations that we have to have, nobody really likes to have those, do we? We don't like to have those fierce conversations. But you know what I'm amazed about is every time I hinder, and I hinder, that's not the right word. Every time I hold back, or every time that I just try to avoid, what happens is the problem gets worse. And then when I finally, the pain has to be worth the gain. And when the pain gets to the point where I have to face it, I have a sigh of relief. I have a new level of understanding of the situation. And I think to myself, why didn't I deal with that before? Why didn't I deal with that a long time ago? It could have saved so much in strife and negative energy. And so I recommend highly that if you have those issues, choose your time wisely, but address the issues. Two people who trust and care about one another and are engaged in something important should feel compelled to disagree, and sometimes passionately, when they see things differently. You know, God created us for a specific purpose, didn't He? And that passion inside of us, we need to keep that alive. And we can't have people around us that are going to squelch that. You can't have people that are going to put that fire out. You want to have people around us that are going to help with that fire and make that fire build even more. After all, the consequences of making bad decisions are great. When leadership team members fail to disagree around issues, not only are they increasing the likelihood of losing respect for one another and encountering destructive conflict later, when people start griping in the hallways, they're also making bad decisions and letting down the people they're supposed to be serving. And they do this all in the name of being nice. I've seen that so much. I used to handle the usher team at my church, and there was quite a few people involved. There was 3 sessions, so there was 10 different people, 3 different units of ushers. So that was 30 people on Sunday, and then I had another set on Saturday. And, you know, it was true. It's like, well, with me, it's like, okay, if they didn't do what I wanted, I couldn't fire them. You know, they were not getting paid. So it was just a difficult scenario, and I had to work differently, which was really good, actually. It's good when you don't have that carrot or that incentive of pay. It has to be based on desire and heart, you know, the heart and the heart of serving. And it's wonderful, but also it's like, okay, well, if we're serving this God, then we all have to get along all the time. But, you know, God put those conflicts in us. There's a reason for them. And sometimes it makes us better. Most times it makes us better when we understand everybody's scenario, because, you know, we all have a head and we have thoughts and beliefs, and it's good for us all to come to the table and realize where we are, where everybody else is, so that we can just figure out what's the best way to go in the situation. Anytime there's a problem at Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services or in any other aspect of my life, we always say, okay, it's an opportunity, right? A problem is an opportunity, and we have to look at possible solutions. And I always tell people, come to me with the problem, but also come with a solution, at least one, because it shows that you got skin in the game. It shows that you care enough to think about it. And it also gets us all thinking about, you know, well, gosh, there's more than one way we could handle the situation. So then we look for the best. What's the best? And in order to know what the best is, you have to know what your ultimate outcome is. What is the outcome that you want to have happen, and work backwards from there? One of the best ways for leaders to raise the level of healthy conflict on a team is by mining for conflict during meetings. What? We're going to look for conflict? Huh. This happens when they suspect that unearthed disagreement is lurking in the room and gently demand that people come clean. At first, mining for conflict might seem like stirring the pot, and looking for trouble, but it is quite the opposite. By looking for and exposing potential and even subtle disagreements that have not come to the surface, team leaders and, heck, team members can do it too. Avoid the destructive hallway conversations that inevitably result when people are reluctant to engage in direct, productive debate. Not everybody knows how to handle conflict and to fight fair. I can remember going to a counselor once and saying, you know, it's not a problem of having a conflict, and it's not even unusual to fight, but it's to fight fair. You know, what is okay and what is not okay? And knowing those rules can change the relationship. You know, we don't attack the person, we attack the problem. That's one. That's a really big one. You know, you always, you never. Those aren't things that we need to say. I feel like this when you say this. I, you know, it makes me unhappy when blah, 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 blah. It's a better way to do it. Now, I've had people say, well, you know, you're saying I all the time. Like, it's always about I. It's about you all the time. No, no, no. We're just, it's important that we express our feelings. You know, we need to be true to ourselves and true to those around us. We can't expect people to be mind readers. I know there's people out there that think that people should just know what they're thinking and know what they're saying. But you know what? We really don't have that gift. We don't. So we need to have people be honest about their feelings. And when you verbalize what you're feeling and what you're thinking, sometimes in that conversation when you just need to talk out loud, sometimes you hear something and you're going, gosh, you know what? I don't know if I even agree with what I just said. That happens sometimes. But we have to have verbals in order to know that we can do that. Rules of engagement. First, if people remain silent during discussions, he would interpret that as disagreement. People quickly realize that if they didn't weigh in, a decision could not be made. Second, at the end of every discussion, the VP would go around the room and ask every member of his team for a formal commitment to the decision. You know, that's really important because you have to get buy-in. I can remember back when my kids were young, and I've mentioned this before and I'll mention it again because it was really crucial at the time I was at. I needed help at home, and I didn't have the money to really afford a housekeeper. And so I just felt like everybody in the team, everybody in my household should play a part and do their share. And you know, everybody's age would signify or determine what level of job or chore they could do. You know, you can't ask somebody to go to the grocery store if they don't have their driver's license. And simpler than that, you know, somebody to mow the lawn, they have to be strong enough and big enough to be able to push it. And now they've got electronic ones, but still, you know what I mean. So I can remember way back when I would write a complete list of chores, all the chores that needed to get done in the house. And then I asked everybody in my team, everybody at my household, everybody that was using these things to cause the chores, I asked them all to pick the ones that they felt they could do, right? I felt like that was a good way to do it. And in the workplace, it's somewhat the same thing. You have all these jobs that need to get done. You come together at a staff meeting and you say, okay, this needs to get done. Who wants to take this one on? This needs to get done. Who wants to take this one on? And then you have to have accountability and have deadlines and, you know, check in and see how you're doing. And if you got too much on your plate, you got to share it with someone else and so on and so forth. So it is really important to verbalize, but it's also important that people understand the why behind what we're doing. You know, like for the chore thing in the household, it's why is that important? Well, the burden should be light. It shouldn't be all on one person. So we need to teach our children biblical principles. And part of that is we all need to be considerate of one another and we all need to do our part. You know, every part has a place in the whole, every body part, and that's biblical. So when team members aren't comfortable being vulnerable, they aren't going to feel comfortable or safe engaging in conflict, right? If that's the case, then no amount of training or discussion around conflict is going to bring it about. Trust must be established if real conflict is to occur. In a similar way that trust enables conflict, conflict allows a team to move on to the next critical behavior of a cohesive team achieving commitment. In the first show that we were talking about this, we were talking about trust and how important trust is, because you need trust in order to move forward in any relationship. You're listening to The Sue Free Show, and I'm so thankful that you're here on KKLA 99.5, and we go all up and down the coast from San Diego to San Luis Obispo and all across the world now. I am traveling quite a bit, and people can listen to the podcast via internet. You can get on iHeart and hear it, iTunes and hear it. It's pretty amazing what this age and how available things are to us these days. So behavior three is achieving commitment. When leadership teams wait for consensus before taking action, they usually end up with decisions that are made too late and are mildly disagreeable to everyone. This is a recipe for mediocrity and frustration. When people leave a meeting without active commitment around a decision, they don't go back to their offices and design a plan to sabotage the idea. That happens only on television and in the movies. And it makes for greater theater. In real life, what actually happens is far more boring and more dangerous. Most leaders have learned the art of passive agreement, going to a meeting, smiling and nodding their heads when a decision is made that they don't agree with. Then they go back to their offices and do as little as possible to support that idea. They don't promote it on their own team, and they certainly aren't willing to run out onto the tracks waving their arms to prevent a train wreck. Instead, they sit back and watch problems develop, quietly looking forward to the day when things go badly, and they can say, "Well, I never really liked that idea in the first place." The impact of this is often embarrassing and costly for the organization. So we really don't want that to happen, do we? The only way to prevent passive sabotage is for leaders to demand conflict from their team members and to let them know that they are going to be held accountable for doing whatever the team ultimately decides. That word accountability is a big one, and I find it very difficult for me. Not for me to be accountable, but for me to make others accountable. I'm having a really difficult time in my workplace with my key staff, and I need to train my key staff how to be accountable so that they can make their staff be accountable. So it starts with me. I need to coach and train my team, and then I'm passing that forward to say, okay, I'm requiring you to do this to your team. So whatever I'm doing with you, I need you to do that with those that you have answering to you. Because that's the way we're going to get the commitment to really be throughout the company and really be a true team. But part of that is, again, we need to get the trust built. We need to have trust, number one, and then we need to have conflict. The conflict is going to happen, but how we deal with it is going to make the difference. At the end of every meeting, cohesive teams must take a few minutes to ensure that everyone sitting at the table is walking away with the same understanding about what has been agreed to and what they are committed to do. Unfortunately, people are usually eager to leave the room when a meeting is coming to a close, and so they are more than susceptible to tolerating a little ambiguity. That's why functional teams maintain the discipline to review their commitments and stick around long enough to clarify anything that isn't crystal clear. That is so good. Now, couldn't you apply that same thought process to a home meeting, to a family meeting? You know, you go around the room and you say, okay, here's the deal. And you state your case, whatever it is that's bothering you, troubling you, where you feel there's a conflict, and you go around the room because your family is a unit. You are a team, and you need to be working on the team together. You know, and this prevents or minimizes dysfunction if you have everybody on the team understanding where everybody is, what's expected of them. It's going to cause everything to move a little wiser and a little smarter. A good way to ensure that people take this process seriously is to demand that they go back to their teams after the meeting and communicate exactly what was agreed on. When team members know that they are going to have to stand in front of the people they lead and vouch for a decision, they are much more likely to push back on that decision if they don't understand it or don't agree with it. As painful as this may be to a group of executives who are more than ready to get out of the meeting, the only thing more painful than taking additional time to get clarity and commitment is going out into the organization with a confusing and misaligned message. And you know, we need to let them know that they're going to go out and they're going to say this to their team, because then when they're being addressed with the issue, whatever the conflict is, they know their team and they know what the conflict they're going to address, what they're going to find at their stage. So they're going to want to address those. How do I answer these conflicts that are going to happen when I make this announcement to my team? And so they want to get strength from the leadership team to be stronger when they announce it to their team. Does that make sense? We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show right after this brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy Tyson stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic.
one in eight children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
If you own or run a small business, here's some straight talk. No hype about how you can save up to hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on health benefits, business insurance, and HR issues. A company named Simpolicy can provide A to Z services for your employees to save you countless extra hours of work. Dealing with benefits, workers' comp, human resources, and business insurance. And they can save you money, improving your bottom line by helping with employee management. How much money? Just log on to Simpolicy.com and quickly fill in your employee census. Simpolicy will analyze your info and suggest ways to improve your employee benefits while reducing expenses so you can run your business and let Simpolicy do the drudge work. Find out more at Simpolicy.com. That's SimPolicy.com. Or call 888-980-8150. 888-980-8150. 888-980-8150. Simpolicy. Your small business resource, a sister company to Montage Insurance Solutions.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives, like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas. And their new Ecola Heat, using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Ecola Services for sponsoring this show. And listen, if you know somebody that would like to advertise on this show or be a sponsor of this show, I would love to talk with you. If you're not sure if radio is for you, this is a great avenue for you to check it out. It's inexpensive for you, and it's a way where you can just test the waters and see if it would work for you or not. And if you're just in San Diego, we could do it just in San Diego. If you're just in Oxnard, Ventura County, we could do it there. If you're LA, Orange County, if that's where your office clientele is, then we can handle that. So just get in touch with me. Go to Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, oneword.com, and let's just talk about it and see if we can work something out. You know, I've been on KKLA advertising for Ecola for 14 years, and it's been good for me. And so, you know, if you're interested in something, this is a great way to just get, just to step into the waters and see if it would work for you. So I welcome you to come on board and you know, support me, and I'll support you, and we'll work together, okay? So the next behavior that we're going to talk about is embracing accountability. That's the toughest thing for me, is accountability, making people accountable. But you know, once you get going on it, it really makes things a lot simpler in the long run. So we just need to deal with it. Peer-to-peer accountability is the primary and most effective source of accountability on a leadership team. That means not me being, you know, making people accountable. It means my peers making other people accountable. And this is very interesting because in my business, in the termite and pest control, we have the person in the office that takes the call. And then we have the inspector who goes to the house and does the inspection and talks with the customer and listens very carefully to the needs and concerns of the customer, and then individualizes the best solution for that individual home and people that live in the home and the animals and all of that. So that's what happens. And then what happens? The technician comes out and actually does what was expected, and hopefully we exceed expectations.
And then we have, 2 years later, we have a service warranty. And the service warranty is where we have an annual inspector who comes out, does an annual inspection to see what's going on, if there's any new evidence, and then we treat. And he will treat right then and there if possible. And if not, he will schedule an appointment and have our techs come back. And what's really interesting, and I've created this new form where all of my employees are making my other employees accountable. So they do a survey of the people that were before them. So we have somebody that is, writing things down regarding the inspection and the markings. And then we have the technician who's coming after that. And we just have each stage where we have the people talking to the other people about what they found, if there's something that could have been done better, you know, just anything like that. So it really is peer-to-peer accountability. And I think it's a great, great thing. Accountability in action. That's what I was just talking about. We can't not talk about things. We have to be able to be strong enough to talk about whatever it is that's happening. And they have a chapter in here, it's called Overcoming the Wuss Factor. Whoa! The irony of all this is that the only way for a team to develop a true culture of peer-to-peer accountability is for the leader to demonstrate that she, that's interesting, he chose she, is willing to confront difficult situations and hold people accountable herself. That's right, the leader of the team, though not the primary source of accountability, will always be the ultimate arbiter of it. If she is reluctant to play that role, if she is a wuss who constantly balks when it's time to call someone on their behavior or performance, then the rest of the team is not going to do their part. This makes sense. Why would a team member want to confront a colleague about an issue when the team leader isn't willing to and is probably going to let them off the hook anyway? So, and here is the irony. The more comfortable a leader is holding people on a team accountable, the less likely she is to be asked to do so. Isn't that so true? That's a principle right there. The less likely she is to confront people, the more she'll be called on to do it by subordinates who aren't willing to do her dirty work for her. I know this because I struggle with holding people accountable, and I'm fully aware that the reluctance of my staff members to do so with one another is a simple function of my behavior. I'm working on it. Many leaders struggle with accountability but don't know it. Some will tell me that since they aren't afraid to fire people, they must not have an accountability problem. Of course, this is misguided. Firing someone is not necessarily a sign of accountability, but is often the last act of cowardice for a leader who doesn't know how or isn't willing to hold people accountable. They're making it sound in this book like it's easy to fire somebody. I don't find it easy at all to fire anybody, and I always ask myself repeatedly, is there something I could have done better? And maybe this is one thing that I could do, and I know it is better, is to hold people accountable. People need to know how they're doing. And when I ask people, when people come in and they want a review from me and they're sitting across from me and they're eye to eye with me, and I'll ask them a simple question, are you giving me 100%? And if they look down and they honestly say no, then obviously it's not time for us to go any further in this thing other than to explain how they could do a better job so we could sit down again in the future. And some of the things are quick fixes and some things are going to take a little time. But unless a person can really look me in the eye and say they're giving me 100%, because I give 100%. I work very hard. And so I want a team that's going to work equally as hard. And I don't expect more from my employees than I do myself. I don't. And so I don't think I'm asking for too much. But I am asking for them to do what they were hired to do and exceed expectations of our customers. And if you're just tuning in right now, thank you so much for tuning in. And this is the Sue Freeze Show. Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, oneword.com. And you can go to your smartphone and you can download KKLA. They have a free app that you can put on your smartphone and listen to me in wherever you are. And that's pretty cool. And you also could go to iHeart and listen. And you could go to Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, oneword.com, and you can get 5 years of podcast by date, by ministry, by subject matter. You know, go on there, would you? Just go on there and check it out. At its core, accountability is about having the courage to confront someone about their deficiencies and then to stand in the moment and deal with their reaction, which may not be pleasant. It is a selfless act, one rooted in a word that I don't use lightly in a business book, love. To hold someone accountable is to care about them enough to risk having them blame you for pointing out their deficiencies. That's so true, isn't it? But it's not easy, but it's a necessity. And you can always find people that are going to tell you what you want to hear, but is that what you want? Or do you want people to tell you what you need to hear? And asking that question, you know, what are my gifts? You know, what do you think are my strengths? And what do you think are my weaknesses? And what do you think I should work on this week? You know, you could even ask somebody close to you that.
You know, what do you think I need to work on this week? How about that? Pretty good question, right? Many leaders who struggle with this, again, I'm one of them, will try to convince themselves that their reluctance is a product of their kindness. They just don't want to make their employees feel bad. But an honest reassessment of their motivation will allow them to admit that they are the ones who don't want to feel bad, and that failing to hold someone accountable is ultimately an act of selfishness. That's pretty hard to take, but it's so true. People have connected with me on the Sufree site, and they've said, you know, we love it when you give scripture. So there's a scripture that goes right along with this, and so I'm going to give you that scripture right now. It's James 4, 1 through 3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And then Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, does live at peace mean shovel it under the rug? Or does live at peace mean get it out there and let's work through it? So many people, and maybe you're one of them, you just don't want to deal with it. It's too painful to deal with it. I can guarantee you it's going to be more painful down the road. Take it from me. I know. you want to deal with it now. I always refer to a book called Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence, Sarah Young. And, you know, we're talking about these issues, and they're not easy issues, are they? They're not. But you know what? They're definitely things that we do need to talk about. And I find that it's so much easier to deal with things on a business level than it is a personal level, because somehow we're in our heads instead of in our hearts. But in this show, when I have people on this show, I always tell people, I don't want the head knowledge as much as I want the heart knowledge. I want people to get into their hearts, the feeling, because real change happens when we get in touch with our heart. When we truly get there, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us and we just, you know, cry, those tears just kind of fly, you know, it's an amazing thing, but there's something that happens in that moment. There's something that happens that's life-changing. And so I'm talking about head knowledge here, but when we really get into this and we talk about conflict, it doesn't come without heart. It can't. It can't just be in the head. We can start there, but it's not going to end there. And sometimes I know in my own personal life is that it was much easier to get a man to listen to a message if it had something to do with how they could improve upon their business. And if we can think about how can improve our business, but also how can improve our personal life and the quality of our lives, then why not? Let's focus on both. What's wrong with focusing on both? We have these lives we're living, and they overlap. There's no doubt they overlap. And so we need to make the most of both worlds, don't we? So I'm going to read from this book. In a world of unrelenting changes, I am the one who never changes. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Find in me the stability for which you have yearned. I created a beautifully ordered world, one that reflected my perfection. Now, however, the world is under the bondage of sin and evil. Every person on the planet faces gaping jaws of uncertainty. The only antidote to this poisonous threat is drawing closer to me. In my presence, you can face uncertainty with perfect peace. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. If you want to find that scripture, it's John 16:33. And that's a great scripture. It brings strength, doesn't it? It does for me. Behaviors versus measurables. The kind that is more fundamental, important, and difficult is about behavior. Even the most reluctant, fearful leaders can usually summon the courage to tell someone that he missed his numbers. That is a relatively objective, non-judgmental act, which makes it safe and free from emotion. Confronting someone about their behavior is a different matter. It involves a judgment call that is more likely to provoke a defensive response. The reason that behavioral accountability is more important than the other results-related kind has nothing to do with the fact that it is harder. It is due to the fact that behavioral problems almost always precede and cause a downturn in performance and results. Lack of attention to details at practice, decreased discipline about cold calling, poor preparation of lesson plans, all of these are behavioral problems that occur long before any decrease in measurable results is apparent.
Great leaders and great team members confront one another about those behaviors early because they see the connection between the two and care enough about the team to take that risk before the results begin to suffer. And I'm thinking about our family life, right? Wouldn't the same thing apply? If things aren't working well in the family life, if the children are struggling in school, if they're getting bad grades, if, you know, what's happening? You know, there's things there, and we need to just be focused on that and pay attention and be present with our children. Do you pick your kids up from school? I remember doing that every single day for so many years, up until my son was 16 and could drive my daughter. I was the one that drove to and fro every day, and I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And the reason is because your kids don't really enjoy talking too much. I mean, my son especially, it was yes, no, yes, no. I could never get a sentence out of him. My daughter was a little more talkative, especially if she was having a great day. But this is when I found out who the good friends were, who the friends were that were causing negative responses or problems. You know, what happened with the teachers today? What happened in school? What did you learn today? You know, that's not a yes or no question. But you need to ask not yes and no questions, parents, with young ones. You need to draw it out of them, don't you? But you also just need to be there. Just be there, because sometimes things come out, but it's in their time, not yours. You know, we can't force those conversations. They kind of just happen, but you have to be present in order to experience them. And like I said, I wouldn't have missed them for the world. So if you can be available to that, it's great. If you can't, then dinner time. Dinner time is a great time to come together. And a wonderful thing to do is, what was your high today? What was your low today? It's a great thing to do. Just make it a regular exercise that you say, so what was your high today? What was your low today? And you go around the table. You know, it's just really a wonderful thing to open up and have people, because you have to think about it. And, you know, it says in all things, give thanks, right? Well, if you don't realize that it was a high, then how can you give thanks? So it's a good way to work every single evening. And dinner time is a great time to come together as a family. So I would make that a priority if you could do that. It would be great. It's worth pointing out here that people often confuse accountability with conflict because both involve discomfort and emotion. But there is an enormous difference between the two. Conflict is about issues and ideas, while accountability is about performance and behavior. As difficult as it is for many people to engage in conflict, at least it is somewhat objective. Removed from a person's behavior, it is much harder for most people to hold one another accountable because it involves something of a personal behavioral judgment. You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and I am so thankful to be with you today. I really am. I find it is such an honor, and it's such a blessing. And 5 years ago, over 5 years ago, when KKLA called me and said, can we have lunch? And they asked me if that they felt I should do a show. I thought, what am I going to talk about? I mean, seriously, what am I going to talk about? And Bob Hastings, he said to me, Sue, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. I know you'll figure it out. And, you know, it's been 5 years of bliss. I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy, and I don't take it lightly. It's a very big responsibility to be on this show. And my whole desire is to give hope to the hopeless and help to the helpless. And, you know, I've been to the lowest of lows, to where I just didn't know if I was going to be able to make it another day. My marriage was on the rocks. It was falling apart. Everything was just not working, you know, just, and I'm a peacemaker. I'm the middle child. Can you relate to those middle child things? But anyway, I just felt so helpless and so hopeless, and I felt like there was no way out. And at that moment in time, I heard on the radio a show, and it changed my life forever. And I think that's one reason why the Lord has chosen me to be right here with you right now, is I know what it feels like to feel like there's no hope. And as long as there's breath, there's hope. And my Heavenly Father, there are so many times I would yell at him and scream at him, and just, I was mad at him. And you know, everybody, I mean, I've talked to so many people and they say it's not okay to be mad with God. But you know what? He gave us these emotions, didn't he? He gave them to us, but we have to be honest about it, don't we? We have to be honest about what we're feeling, what we're thinking. Find a safe place to expose it. Not everybody's equal in that regard. You know, you've got to choose your friends wisely, choose the people that you're going to, you know, talk and be vulnerable with, because not everybody you've just got to choose, you know, be wise. Be wise in your choices on people that you talk to, and talk about the things that matter with people who care, right? Talk about things that matter with people who care. And, but during that time, I just know that I just felt so low, 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 low. And then people came alongside me. The radio show was there. And the Lord was there. And you know, for the times that I felt so alone, I realized looking back that my Heavenly Father was there, and he was carrying me, like the footprint poem or whatever you want to call it.
He was carrying me. There was only one set of footprints, but they were his. And it was okay. And now it's like, I want to be there. I want to be there and be of help. When the Lord's calling me to be there, I need to be open to that, and I need to hear his voice. And the only way I feel I can really do that is by asking him to be guiding me, you know, asking him to have a calm and a peace inside my heart and my spirit to where I can hear his voice and I can feel his nudge, his gentle nudge, when there's somebody sitting next to me at church. And the Lord will just say something, not audibly, but he just says something. He says, that person needs a hug. That person needs to just have an encouraging word. And, you know, when you walk into church, do you sit in the same place or do you say, Lord, where do you want me today? You know, I am your ambassador, Lord. So where do you want me to sit? And sit where he wants you to sit, not where you feel comfortable. Get out of your comfort zone. Listen, this last weekend, I did something. I totally got out of my comfort zone. I just got to share this with you, is that I went to a wedding, and at this wedding, they had paragliding. And, you know, I have this metal plate, 10 pins in my leg, and no way in heck am I going to do anything like this because I'm afraid that I'm going to hurt my leg when I land. And, you know, there's a lot of things that I can't do anymore because I'm afraid. And, you know, you count your cost and the risk management thing as you get older, especially if you've had an injury, you know, you just don't heal as quickly. You just don't. And so you don't take as many chances as you do when you're younger and seem invincible. And so the bride, she came down paragliding. She came down. And her husband-to-be came down, and they had their beautiful wedding ceremony on after a storm, and then it was clean and beautiful, and the sky would just opened up for them, and it was just beautiful. And she came to me, and she said, Susie, you need to do this. And I'm like, what do you mean I need to do this? Are you crazy? She goes, no, you need to do this. And they had a special deal going, and I saw how she landed. I saw how easy it was, that I wasn't going to, you know, hit hard on the ground, and it was very controlled. And I felt very secure. I trusted the guy that took her up, and I was going to have the same guy. He was supposed to be the best guy. And so I thought, how could I not do this with this setting? How could I not do this? So I took a deep breath. I went into where you sign the papers, and listen, I started signing the papers, 8 pages of releases of all these things saying this could kill you, and this, you know, this is a dangerous sport and could injure you for life. You could be paralyzed for life. And I'm not kidding you. I walked into that place 3 separate times. I filled out like 2 pages at a time. And then I came out and said, this is silly. I can't do this. I can't do this. There's no way I can do this. And then I would go out and they would say, no, go back in. I'd go back in. I'd fill out 2 more pages. And then they have you get on the their iPad and they videotape you saying, I understand. I read. I know that this could injure me for life and blah, 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 blah. And I still did it. Can you believe I did it? But I did it. And it was amazing. You jump off a cliff and it's breathtaking. It'll take your breath away, and to feel like an eagle who's soaring in the wind with the beautiful sun and the waves and the clouds and the birds and there was this plane that didn't have a motor that was gliding right by me and right at me, actually. But there was all these other gliders up there, and it was just the most beautiful, amazing thing. And then he videotaped me up there, and I just couldn't even hardly talk because it was just so amazing. So you know what? If you've got a chance to do something spectacular like that, do it. Just do it. And you know what? I suggest that you do the things that are mentioned in this book, these things that are on this show, and connect with me, would you? Until next week, be a blessing to someone each and every day. Make your day count. Be a blessing and connect with me, would you? God bless you.
This has been the Sue Freeze Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects.
Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.